praise his name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Oh God, Lord, I love you so much. Lord, may that feeling never leave. But Father, every day may we just fall greater in love with you. Father, when we think and take time and meditate, and Lord, of what you've done for us, the price you paid, Lord, and just even the blessings you grant to us here on this earth. Lord, it's nothing that we deserve or earn, but it's your love for us and us. And I do appreciate it, everything, Lord. I pray that you would just bless each and every one that's gathered here tonight and maybe under the sound of our voice. And I ask you to just have your way in all our lives. Lord, look in deep into our hearts, Lord. And each one of us is on a different path, a different, Lord, position in life. And you know where we're all at, Lord, and what we need. And that's why we've gathered here, Lord, is to draw closer to you. Just bless us now tonight, we ask. May your will be done in everything, we ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Do you love him tonight? Yes. Really love him? Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me if you would. I'd like to, in the little pamphlets there. No, it's in our capstone books. Start with 79. He lives. He truly lives, saints. Hallelujah. Just a little chorus. I know we know it. But, oh, he lives today. So glad.
Yes.
He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to
again and revealed to me.
I was blind and I could not see, till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all his mercy.
Sing it again, hallelujah.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see, till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all his mercy.
Hallelujah.
When to Jerusalem our Lord went, there were praises to him from the people who received the Lord. Him they highly esteemed. But the Pharisees that gathered there said, make them be still. But Jesus said the rock would surely cry out. Let them shout as they will.
Amen.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see, till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all his mercies to me.
Amen.
We shouldn't sit with our heads hung now. God is with us now. Listen. Giving strength to the bride each day, since the true way she found. And the manifested sons of God, this world surely will see. Then the rapture will take her away. Amen. The last enemy.
Praise him.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see, till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all his mercy to me.
Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful, saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name. Page. Amen. I have a problem. Remember where it come from. Page 8. Let's see if it's on here. I think it must be the capstone book. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. Yep. Keep praising the Lord. Little chorus.
Yes.
Keep praising the Lord. Oh, the skies above are great, keep praising the Lord. For the answer's on the way, do not despair. For God answers prayer, the victory is sure for those who endure. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep praising the Lord. Oh, the skies above are great. Keep praising the Lord. For the answer's on the way. Do not despair. For God answers prayer. The victory is sure.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Praise his name.
Amen.
Keep praising the Lord. Oh,
gone. Oh, the sky above our grave, keep praising the Lord. For the answer's on the way,
amen.
Do not despair, for God answers prayer. The victory is sure for those who endure. Keep praising the Lord.
Amen. Never praise Him enough, saints.
Hallelujah.
He deserves everything, our whole lives. Amen. Brother Hamilton, you come up for the offering. Hallelujah.
Precious.
That's the blessing.
So thankful for what you've done today, Jesus. Bless the service. Bless us all who've been attending to. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Feeling so much better. Let's sing that again.
Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on. Talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. Oh, do you love talking about Him, saints? Amen. How many has something on your heart, a need, a request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we go before Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly, Lord, how we love to talk about You, and to, Lord, to hear others talk about You. Just, Lord, the praises and the worship You. Father, when we hear of saints and different ones, Lord, that has something done in their life, maybe a healing or a blessing, Lord, it's truly food for our souls, Lord, to hear them praise You and worship You. Oh, God, it's so wonderful. And, Lord, that's what we want to do. That's why we come here tonight.
Yes.
Father, we have needs on our hearts. The people do also, Lord. Father, You know every need. And, Lord, You've already met that need, paid the price. Lord, give us faith and revelation, Lord, to accept it. Lord, to make it ours, because You've already paid the price. Lord, it's just ours to reach out and take. And Lord, truly may we rejoice in it. Lord, spread the news, Father, that You're alive.
Yes,
and Lord, meeting needs. And oh God, worship You. We love You so much. So Lord, we just ask that You touch every need and meet it, Lord, to the abundance of heaven, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask, Father, for the remainder of the service that You'd have our hearts open. Lord, may the word fall on good ground. And Lord, grant to us revelation. Lord, we ask this in Your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? All right, has anyone else got a song? Something on your heart? Amen. All right, yes. Let's all stand then, if you would. And sing a little chorus, Only Believe. And ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Thankful for another opportunity to be able to come together and gather around God's precious word.
Just praying that through the reading and renewing our minds to these scriptures and a few quotes that it'll strengthen someone and help someone along their way. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are just so appreciative for what you have done for us, Lord. And to be able to come and just feel the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and know that you said where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'd be in the midst. And Lord, we're just so thankful for what you're doing for us. Father, we just ask you tonight as we go back into your precious word and renew our minds, Lord, in these few quotes and scriptures, praying, Lord, that it'll help strengthen someone, Lord, and cause each one of us to draw a little closer to you, Lord, and maybe to watch our step a little tighter. And Father, we ask your blessings upon your word and unto our hearts to the hearing and the receiving, and we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He truly is wonderful.
Yes,
amen.
Is.
Amen. I told our pastor I would take it this evening and thought I was going to kind of go a different direction. And I went into my study with another thought totally. And these things just kind of started coming to my mind. And I thought, well, we're just going to renew our minds to these things. May not be too lengthy. May not be too exciting, but it's God's word, and just like to renew our things to some things Paul said and some things the prophet had quoted, and just praying if nothing else I might cause some to want to go back and listen to a couple of these messages and refresh our mind to them. Amen.
Yes.
We're definitely living in the time. But if you want to turn with me to 1 Peter, and we'll go to the 5th chapter and begin here. Amen. But 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and let's start here at the first verse and just listen to what Peter is saying. And the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, and taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock, or examples to the flock. And the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect and establish, strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you in these words, and you may be seated. Just a small little letter Peter was writing here and expressing a couple different things. And as we started there, he was saying, as he was talking about the ministry, being examples to us, and Paul told us over in Hebrews 13:8, to follow the end of their conversation of those that have the rule over you, looking at the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we think about these things, and we're living in a time to where, as our pastor's been pointing out, and it's the most deceptive age we've ever seen. And Satan has had a lot of time to get ramped up and prepared for where we're standing. And as I had ministered last Sunday evening and talked about a few of the things that I had, just kind of a thinking about what the prophet had said and looking at where we're standing today and how we see all that's taking place around us, and how it just seems like all of the churches have let down, and it just seems like worldliness has crept in more than it ever has amongst our ranks. And how we see these people, they claim to be Christians, they go to church, they claim to believe the same message we believe, they're carrying the same books we carry, they're reading the same Bible. But to some, it's not been revealed. And some don't have an understanding of what's truly laying before us.
and fellowship, as me and our brother were speaking outside, fellowship is wonderful, but it's got to be two fellas in the same ship. Understanding what God has given us and truly holding this as a standard in our lives as individuals before God. And you know, Jesus said it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And we see that, and many take the attitude, well, it's not possible, because he said if it were possible. But he said it would be really, really close. And he sent a prophet in this last age to truly put the emphasis on that and to express and to preach many a messages to draw our attention to the age in which we're living. And Satan's deception in Satan's Eden and the God of this evil age, many places we've been pointed to the truth. And when we think about these things, I want you to notice, even though Jesus said that, I want you to be looking at just a few scriptures here. We're going to just, but think of Peter here, even after all that he had said. He said, be sober and be vigilant. Don't get confident in yourself, but keep your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And it's his grace only that we hold ourselves. It's not in our works. It's not in my understanding, but it's what he has imparted to each one of us here tonight. What holds us by his grace. And how we must realize without him, we cannot do anything. And we want to be a people that are totally leaning on him. Yes, we want to be a shining light. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that others will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, in Matthew 5. And so we want to keep that in mind as we see what the chances we have. And Brother Branham preached many a messages on influence and investments. And I'd just like to reference a few quotes from those messages. But as we think about that, there's an influence both ways. There's an influence that is trying to influence us. Are we going to stay with the truth? And there's an influence pressing in on us. But there's also, we should be influencing out to others. We should be salty. We should be partakers of this divine nature. This life should be oozing from us, reproducing itself through us, that it would attract others. But don't never compromise for sin. And may our lives truly be an example to others that we believe this to be the truth. And it's got to be individuals. It's got to be to you personally, not to the church. Not as my church, as we've said many times, it's not my church says, my pastor says. No, it's God says. And I realize that this is God's word speaking to me. And every aspect of my life, I want this word to have the control and the preeminence over me. And to him to have the oversight and the leading in everything we do. But it's a scary age as we have many opportunities. We all go to work. We work with many people that don't even know what a Bible is. We work with many people that don't never maybe had the opportunity to realize there's been a prophet come in this age. We have wonderful opportunities to express Jesus Christ to this nation and to this people in many different ways. Does that mean they're all going to be saved or they're all going to come in? Probably not. But may our testimony go forth to always show that in humility and we're walking before the Lord and we want his word to be made known through our lives. As we think on these things, let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And I just want you to notice the emphasis. Our pastor warned us here not long ago about being careful to make sure no one influences us. And I just want you to maybe emphasize that a little bit through the scriptures and the quotes. Our pastor's done a wonderful job of bringing that back to our remembrance, but I just can't help but keep filling to strengthen that comment to each and every one. But here in the 2 Thessalonians, and let's start here at the first verse, just Paul speaking, he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by gathering unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means." And oh, look at the emphasis Paul is putting on that. And that's, for now, that's all we'll read of that. But I just want you to look at some of these scriptures where Paul was putting that same, that warning was going out. And when our prophet was here in this age, he was putting out that same warning. Don't be deceived. Don't be influenced away. And he spent a lot of time bringing messages along those lines to prove that and to show that forth. And And he preached a message before 63 called The Influence of Others. And tied in many good things, kind of the same thought, but there's a lot of wonderful messages on these things. And as he said, we're a creator in ourselves. We create an atmosphere. When we're out amongst the world, when we're out amongst people that come into church, we should put out an atmosphere. And all they may feel what you've got, and they may want to come in and have some of what you have. But be sure you don't go the other way and let their influence on you pull you from what you have in your heart. We must stay strong. We're fortified. Satan's a sly critter. He's had a lot of time, so to put it, so to speak. And he's good at what he does. But our God is greater than he'll ever be if we'll but yield in humility to him and say, Lord, I need you to hold me. Yes. Don't ever think in yourself you're strong enough. I can do this. I can do that. No, without him, we will surely fail. Well, we must put all of our trust and confidence in him. Here in Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2 and the first verse. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I guess that would be us tonight. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, and as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And so think about these warnings that was going forth, and how it's a time to be cautious, a time to watch, and to be careful where we trod and what we partake of. Because not only are Satan trying to influence us away from the Word, but we've got to make sure that our influence is steadfast in this Word, reaching out to others, that our testimony is standing steadfast in God's precious Word, that our lives are bearing forth what we claim to believe, and it's showing forth to each and everyone around us that we truly believe the Word that Jesus Christ has given us in this age. Let's go to Galatians, the sixth chapter, if you would. Galatians 6, and about the seventh verse. We can just back up, about the sixth verse. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And so think about those things. God's word is truth, and it goes forth. And Brother Branham, many times he spoke of, as our pastor even mentioned to Sunday, by their fruits you'll know them. And the way a tree leans, so to speak, that's the way it falls. And so how we must be so careful to guard our footsteps and to guard ourselves against all that Satan would try to throw at us. And the only support we have, the only confidence we can have, is in this precious word. It's the truth. And we must never let anyone take that from us. God put it forth. And it's a people that should be holy and righteous in him. We should be pure-minded. Our thoughts and our conversations, Christ-like. Yes. And when holy, as Paul spoke even on our conversation, being holy. Not corruptible, not with something that people could condemn us of the way we speak. Not trying to be influenced by the world and the worldly phrases and the slang that comes with it to try to fit in with the in crowd, so to speak. and all the many things we see taking place. Worldly dress amongst our women, as we mentioned, it's slid in, makeup and lipstick and earrings and hair cutting and all of these things. And when it's preached against, it's, oh, that's, you're just back to being a legalist. You're just back to its rules and regulations. No, that's God's word. God set it forth, and it don't matter how many years goes by, God's word's still going to hold. He's not going to judge this world. He's not going to judge you and I by this church or by any church, but he's going to judge us by the words that were written on the pages of those books. Yes. And you say, well, I don't see it in that scripture. Well, that's why God sent a prophet to bring the word to a people that they might understand what God was saying. Yes. And to make sure that the picture was clear and to point out the follies of men. And to make sure that we understand the importance of every word God's given us. Yes. And oh, may that truly ring in our hearts as these last few moments of time and we see where we're standing. As our pastor was reading, I believe it was even Sunday, he was reading out of 1 Timothy, perilous times shall come. We're in those times. This is the time men will be drawn away. People are falling away, leaving what they've maybe held to for years and called truth because of the lack of understanding, the lack of revelation. They tried in themselves. They followed as long as they could. But oh, if they would have but yielded to the Holy Spirit, if that little gene's in there, you will. But by God's grace, it takes a dying out to yourself and maybe a sacrifice. You can't go through this life and everything just think it's going to be a bed of roses and I'm going to have everything just perfect. No, it's not the way it's going to be. If you're going to walk this life, you're going to suffer with him. You're going to bear his reproach. Amen. And he bore the reproach for you and I the day he hung on the cross. Amen. The great price that was paid, the penalty that he paid, the shame that he bore for you and I in his mind. And may we never forget that. Maybe we might get a little embarrassed. Maybe I'm a sister and I wear a long dress. Don't ever be embarrassed. Think of what he did for you. Yes, maybe I'm a man that has to take a stand on the job when they want to come around with their foolish filthiness and stuff. Remember what he had to go through for you. When you think maybe I feel a little embarrassed because I have to turn and walk away. Think about what he's paid for us and what he's done for us in every aspect of our life. There's nothing we'll suffer or go through that touches what he went through for you and I to be here to feel what we have. And oh, may we truly be appreciative of what he's done for us. I'd just like to read a few of these quotes that Brother Branham had made. Just to catch your attention to a few things, and I think it fits in with what we see going on today. This was in the Message Influence, preached January the 12th, 1963, paragraph 51, and he was just beginning to talk a little bit here. And it may sound like I'm going back over the makeup thing, but that was just part of what he was describing here, but I wanted to get to the quote he's made at the bottom. He says, I got up a little late this morning to get to the breakfast, and I went to a place to get some coffee, and there's a little lady come out to serve me. She and my wife were sitting there, and she had her eyes blue, you know, the stuff over her eyes. And he says, I saw one of those down in Los Angeles one time, the first one I ever seen. The lady's made up that way, and I was going to go walk up to her and tell her I was a missionary, and I had seen pellagra and leprosy. But I had never seen anything like that, and I was going to go ask her if I could maybe pray for her and tell me what kind of disease she had. And I was a little afraid of it. I'd never seen anything quite like it. And I walked over, and I was waiting for Brother Arkenbright and some of the businessmen and the officials, and another girl walked up and looked just like her. And I thought, say, I might be wrong here, that she might have did that herself, and it was a very attractive girl, would have been, if she'd have just washed her face and looked like a human. Now, when some of these movie stars somewhere, and I don't know where it comes from, when they will go and do a thing like that, some woman with some kind of an influence, then the influences the rest of the nation to try and do the same way. Yes. And how a prophet pointed out to us many times the influence, as he talked about television and the movie stars, it's all through the Word if you go and read. There's this Satan's Eden. It's his possession. Everything around us is to try to influence us. And to influence our children, schools, look at it all. It's all corrupt. It's all the Satan trying to get people to worship him. And we see that influence and oh, how we should take a stand against it in ourselves. And how it should really burn in our hearts to make sure that, Lord, hold me fast. And let me watch every move I make that I be not influenced away from your word by what someone else is doing. Whether it's in church or whether it's in the world, somebody I work with, or wherever I may travel. Might even be my parents. You know, we're not exempt. I have children. I might come to church and do all so good, but there might be one thing in my life that's not Christ-like. And just because I do it, don't make it right. You've got to watch each and every one. It's not follow your father. It's not follow your mother. It's follow Jesus Christ, the Word. And that's where it comes down to an individual affair. It's not a group, saints. We must make sure that it's a personal revelation to each one of us. He says, and the rest of the nation tried to do that. And he says, when our Pentecostal women was allowed to cut their hair because some minister let down in the pulpit, then the rest of them said, well, so-and-so's wife does it, can't we? See, it's the influence you place upon it in some of them. And this little lady this morning was such a nice little lady. She was very sweet, just as respectable as she could be. And she left the table and turned around, and my wife looked across the table at me and said, you know, it's just a pity that some devil, and I'm not reluctant to say devil, that has coped up such a thing to bring our American women under such an influence as that heathen trait. Influence. Somebody started it. But don't you ever go by what some, see somebody of this country, I don't care, other country, some minister's wife or somebody else, don't you ever be influenced by them. You let the Bible influence you to the thing that's right. And that's wrong now. And we shout and we dance and we speak in tongues. And the glory of God we claim is on us. And then go out as such as that. There is something wrong. And that same word that he was applying to the Pentecostals applies to the message churches today. And ministers won't quote it across the pulpit. They don't want nothing to do with it. But listen, he says, now I believe in those things. This shouting, speaking in tongues, dancing in the Spirit. But brother, how could God tolerate such a thing as that when he's against it? And he says so in his word. And our women has become in our churches, which is merely practiced many times, dressing and sex appeal. It's very ever seldom spoke against from the pulpit. Yet we shout and jump around and speak in tongues. And that's the reason this great move called Pentecost isn't getting anywhere. Is because there's no sincerity behind it. It's become an emotion. And that's what this message has become to many, an emotion. It's become something that they've, oh, this is what we must do, and it makes us who we are. But that's not so. God's word is what makes the true Christian in this hour, the true believer. And these are the things that our prophet was warning us against. That's why these messages were stored up. The word is laying there. The food that we need to sustain us is laying there. But people won't read it. And people that need to hear it, people want to hold it from them. Oh, that might be too hard. That might hurt them. That might cut them. That's why God sent his word to shape us. That's the chastisement of the word that comes forth. And God, will you do the chastisement? You don't have to keep, you don't have to, so to speak, shove it down on someone. But you speak the word in truth and in love, as our pastor does here, or anywhere that any true man of God is bringing. You watch that word come forth, pointing out the wrong and the deceitfulness of that sin, and you watch the little elected, wherever she is, all over this earth, say amen to it. And if she's caught up in that thing, you watch her life shed that thing and get rid of it. And oh my, that's the same word that's got to be living forth from us as we become written epistles, read of all men. It's holding forth your testimony, standing strong on the faith and the understanding that's been imparted to you, and go forth with your testimony and watch God do the work as people come into your presence and that Holy Spirit is present in your life and your life's marking up to that word. You watch the atmosphere change. You watch people get condemned when they know they're not toeing the mark. And you watch God begin to work on that genuine seed, and you see if he doesn't do the work himself to finish it. Watch God in action. We've become a people that have become so soft. In this age of America, you can't say nothing to nobody without them crying, having hurt feelings, and he said this and she said that. It's the drama that lives in the everyday world has just become unbelievable. Because people, why? Those parents laid down the switches and the belts and the paddles a long time ago, and now we're living with a bunch of people that don't even know what it is to have a harsh word spoke to them. But oh my, God's word's harsh when you're in the wrong. And it comes as correction. And correction for this time is not pleasant. But it will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness according to God's word. And by God's grace, I can say amen. I've seen it happen in my life. I am a recipient of even that scripture that God placed in this Bible. I am identified by his grace. And I pray each one of you can say the same thing. Amen. May we not fall into that category of, oh my, what about this? And what? No, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Oh my, may it burn into our hearts greater than it ever has. Amen. That through the life that Jesus Christ will live through individuals, someone may see that there is a true, genuine vindication of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a people's lives. Not emotions running all over the church and jumping up across pews and preaching like a wildfire. No, that's okay if that's what God wants at the time. But a life lived is worth 1,000 words. And oh my, it will catch the attention of that little bride wherever she's at. Amen. This was in Florence, preached August 3rd, 1963. And Brother Branham was beginning. He's here. He says, "Now I want to take a text from this of influence. You know, there is something another we are and what we do. We influence somebody else by what we do, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we live. And all that we do, we influence someone else. And now, you know, many people won't go to church. They say, well, you got the wrong impression of church. And they think it's women down here that are witches and the men are black-robed demons. And they just got the wrong idea about it. But I tell you what they do. They will watch your life to see what you do. And I believe it was Paul that said, we are written epistles, read of all men. And when you're on the street, when you're at work, wherever you are, somebody is watching you. And especially after you have said and made your confession that you are a Christian, they'll watch you much closer then. And that gives an influence to the people that's around about you. And we should watch what we do, because if we produce the wrong influence, then we bring a reproach, not so much upon ourselves, but upon what we claim to be. Christians, we bring it upon Christ, and no one, if we would think, you would never want to bring a reproach upon Christ. But the wrong act at the wrong time will certainly cause a wrong reflection towards the person that's watching you. Yes. And everybody is watched when you profess to be a Christian. So keep that in mind and bear that forth. Each and every one of us, we're being watched in every action we make. Every word, every business deal, it don't matter what we do, we're being watched to see what we're doing. Is it a fast buck I'm trying to make and I'm willing to maybe pull a shady deal? I'm being watched. Maybe I've given my word to someone and failing to keep it. I'm being watched. Every action, down to the smallest detail. The way I treat my wife at home, my kids are watching. The way the wife treats the husband, the kids are watching. You know, we're professing a belief. We're professing we're Christians. And it's even behind closed doors when no one can see. But each and every time, everything we do, we're going to give an account for. And may our life truly be giving forth an account that Jesus Christ is living and that is what people are seeing. And that the praying mothers at home for their children, praying for those that have needs, brothers praying for brothers, sisters praying for brothers, sisters rather. May it be a family upholding one another, showing forth, not trying to run someone down or looking down on someone. I think they got more than I got. And oh, it's, no, it should be, if the God has blessed my brother with something wonderful, praise the Lord. I'm happy for him, Lord. Thank you for blessing him. Don't get caught up in this rut that we see so many. Well, if he's got it, I got to have it too. If he's going to do that, I got to do it too. No, be satisfied with who you are and what God has made you and where he's placed you. And whatever he has need of, you be there to fulfill it, and God will make sure that all of your needs are provided. He will see you through. Amen. Here in the message, Influence, this was preached November 30th, 63. And just to kind of catch what the essence of this great influence that others may have on us, but we should be having on others. It goes both ways. I many times preach at funerals, and I never try to say too much about the person that's passed on. Because there's no need of saying. The people, the life the man has or woman, whatever it might be, has lived, will speak louder to the congregation than anything I could say about them. I would never change their opinion. Their life told what they were. And that's such a strong statement, but it's the truth. And how often you've seen preachers do that at funerals, try to butter somebody up and tell them how good they were. And then somebody stand up and say, let me tell you what a stinker they really were. You know, their life bore fruit of what they truly were. Their life was showing. And yeah, maybe we do good things for some people. Maybe we do this, that. But if we profess to be Christians, every action must declare Jesus Christ. And we never know just what we're doing, what an influence what we're doing is having upon others. The Bible said we're written epistles, read of all men. That is Your life reads so loud to the public until your testimony, if it's contrary to your life, is without any effect. It's what you are inside of you that people read. Not so much what you say, but what you are. See, you can pin something on somebody and say, this is that, and so forth. But your life is being different from what they say. Your testimony of your life is louder than the testimony that someone would say something about you. So just keep that on your mind. And we're bringing influences every day. And the life that you live proves what's on the inside of you. And you cannot change that. It reflects. Every person reflects outside what he is inside. And if we take the testimony of being Christians, I think that it is one of the most solemn things that a man or a woman, boy or girl could do, is when he takes on the name of Christ, that he is going to be a representative of Christ. You should watch every move you make because somebody is watching you. And in this, it reflects what God has done for you inside of you. And oh my, how true it is. If what you see is what you're going to get. It's going to show forth whether you're a truly living testimony or whether your testimony is kind of flawed. It will show forth to others. Brother Branham said this, and I thought it was good, and I'll close with this. You sisters can come to the instruments. And as he kind of put this through here, and he was talking, this is in the Message Influence Priest, January 12th, 63 as well. And he says, paragraph 35, he says, we find that Uzziah was called to be a king at the age of about 16 years old after his father's death. A great believer, and his mother was a very fine woman. His father was a great believer, and his mother was a very fine woman. And the young king had been crowned at a young age, and quickly had taken the road that was right because of the influence of a godly father and a godly mother. And it's very important to us, saints, that are fathers and mothers. May we truly reference what God's given us. And I think that it's a very fine example for we parent today is to set an example for our children. And now you'll live your best or your worst at home. And I think that's our lives. See, the children might not just exactly act like they're noticing it, but they are noticing it. Don't you never think that they are not, because they're watching. Not only children are watching, but the neighbors are watching. Not only the neighbors are watching, but all that you're associated with is watching you. The people at your church watch you. The people that you do business with in the markets, they're watching you after your confession. And we should always try to reflect Christ in everything that we do. And I know a little motto that I had hanging in my house years ago. I picked it up one day when I was at Billy Sunday's Tabernacle. And when I was at one of the meetings up at Winona Lake. And I liked it so much till I got it and hung it in my house. And I kept it until it just fell apart. And it was something like this. Go no place you would not want to be found if Jesus should come. And be saying nothing that you would not want to be saying if Jesus should come. And it went on with many things, saying what you otherwise, whatever you do or say, whatever action that you're performing, do not do it if you would not be caught in the position when Jesus comes. If we could only do that, I'm sure we would be a great influence upon our associates. And you know that's right. There's two ways to do anything, and that's right and wrong. Amen. But I want you to think about that. And you say, well, Brother Tim, you sounds like you read the same thing over. I believe it was pretty important to our prophet because he made mention of it many times, of the influence that we have with our lives and what we're bearing forth. Not just a testimony of our lips and not just what we claim to believe, but may it truly be a life living through us and showing forth. And I never always sticks to me, as Brother Branham always said, if you took the life out of a pumpkin and put it into a watermelon vine, it would bear pumpkins. And oh my, that's truly how God is. If he's on the control seat, your life will bear forth the works of this precious word. And oh, but may we be a people that long to be that, a strong influence, a strong Christian, holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering, staying in the Spirit, being diligent, being sober, and asking God every day for the, through humility for revelation and understanding of his word, and by his grace to lead and to guide us and to keep us in the center of his path. Amen. That, oh my, that through our lives he might get the glory, and that through us someone might come to know him. Amen. Not by what we got to say, but by the life that you live forth. They can see and become salty and say, I want what you have. Oh, saints, it's just so wonderful to see what God can do and all through the lives of many. And I don't want, you know, so many want to make excuses. Why I do this because, and my life's like this because, and it's going to get better, and this is going to be there. That's not what God's word said. So many want to make excuses for their flesh and for what they're going. And it doesn't matter who we are. What God says, what it will be. And we got nothing else to say about it. And it's telling the story every day, what we're doing, how much of that word is being made real in our hearts and in our lives. May our trees be full of fruit and truly abundantly bearing forth the life of Jesus Christ in this age. Amen. I pray you can take something from it. Amen. Just a small word of exhortation and nothing big, but just a renewing of our minds to be watchful, to be careful. You know, we have many wonderful opportunities. May we take advantage of what God's given us and let His light shine forth. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll walk in the light. Amen.
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Sing it again.
We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. I got a lot of good nuggets out there. Amen. Did you enjoy that?
I did.
Amen. You know, I couldn't help but to think of many things. As always, when you know a minister gets up and preaches the Word of God, you think of many different channels and things, different prophets said and so forth. And then I was thinking about as he was reading and touching on that influence again, and just to kind of share it with you. But anyhow, I think if you'll just open your heart in the right channel, you'll see what I'm talking about. But it, again, about the influence as far as the women wearing the skirts are wearing now. Talking about the, which I might be kind of beat down about it. You know, people kind of hammer on me about it. But the blue jean skirts with the pockets and the zippers and all the man's essentials on it, you know. And knowing the scripture said, she that puts on anything that pertains to a man's apparel, pertain which meaning, and there's no other meaning to it other than in its likeness. So it's in a likeness of a man's pair of blue jeans. But then I got to thinking, and I was just praying about it, and just something, just the Holy Spirit touched my heart about. We was reading the scripture, we read a couple times recently, that Laodicean age, that lukewarmness. I'd rather not be cold or hot. And just something spoke to my heart. Them skirts fall right in that lukewarmness. It's not cold. It's not hot. And many other things just the Holy Spirit was dealing my heart about. And I thought, it's true, Lord. It's so true. It's not right. They're not on fire for God to do that. And yet it's not cold. They're wearing skirts. They're covering up. But it's not what God said, you know? And I thought, and then channels begin to go different directions, many things. And I could see clearer that picture of that lukewarmness that's going through the land today. Oh, saints, don't be caught up in that lukewarmness. Stay solid and true. It's about over with. It's getting closer. Don't let anything at all distract you. Don't let, as our brother moved our minds back to, don't let anything influence you to the wrong direction. Be careful. You see? Stay right where God wants you to be. Be what God wants you to be. Don't try to be like the world and try to be a believer at the same time. It'll never work. No. By your few fruits you shall know. So may God open our understanding greater to the Word of God, that we truly live by faith in not by sight, but what God reveals to us. Oh my. Just so thankful for the Word of God. So thankful for the Holy Ghost. Oh, I so appreciate it. You know, as so many times, just quickly now in closing before we pray, I don't know how many times, God knows, there'd just be something that I would be seeing that the Lord wants me to do, or wants me to be, or how He wants me to act, or something to understand. And then you're reading through the prophet's message, or you're listening to it. Might have been something you never listened to for quite a while, or read for a while, and just, bang, there it is. It matches exactly what you was feeling led to do. I'm just, it's so thrilling to know that same Holy Ghost is there. That's what he's talking about, that identification, being identified. Christ identified in you, you being identified with it. Oh my, and then that brings such an assurance. That's what I want, assurance. Amen, to know in that last hour, that rapture is about to take place, that this body will change in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. As Enoch had his testimony, he pleased God. That's where I want to stand. Amen. In every situation, every walk of life, I know it pleased God. Amen. I'm sure it's your desire too. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that in such a dismal, lukewarm, dark, evil time which we're living through, that there is a light. There's a light, Lord, that lights our path, that we can walk and know where we're walking and see where we're walking, and know just exactly what you're wanting, Lord, in this hour. We are so thankful for that, so appreciative. We see it's been given out so sparingly. As the prophet said about the Holy Ghost, it is given out so sparingly. And how true that is, Lord. Father, we just ask that you continue. As these messages like tonight, and Lord, if you should tarry, the word that will come forth, that we listen to, read, whatever it may be, that it will continue, Lord, to open our understanding. That we'll continue to receive revelation of the Word of God. That, Lord, we can walk in a path of light. And, Lord, be a true son or daughter of God that you're using and expressing yourself through this hour. So we thank you for these things now, Lord, and we ask now again in closing that you watch over us and keep us safe. Guide us, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit. Bring us back again at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And help us all, Lord, to come back hungry. Lord, crying out for revelation above everything. We ask it through your glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God richly bless you. Amen. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. May God bless you. You're dismissed.